This is the KPQ Legislative Hotline, the weekly live update from your lawmakers at the state capitol in Olympia on News Radio 560 KPQ, FM 101.7.
And good morning, KPQ News time at 8:05 into the third and final hour of the KPQ Morning Update. We go for this Thursday edition. It's the 13th of February, 2025. And as promised, we have a legislative hotline on tap for you today with 12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor. He joins us live from Olympia on the line this morning. Keith, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, as always.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So let's start with, kind of one of my overall themes, I guess, in talking with all of our legislators this year from back home, has been kind of the mood in Olympia because, again, of Governor Ferguson's words at the outset. I know we've kind of hammered this point a lot here so far, but I'm just wondering what the prevailing mood is. You were telling me that things are kind of chugging along, but is there a different atmosphere at all, or a changing one at least, in the Senate this year?
Well, of course, the Senate is a new experience for me, but what I sense is happening in the House is just the same atmosphere that there's been a lot of bills that have been passed. It doesn't seem like we're really focusing on the core issues that we have, and that's trying to fund the necessary services of government. We're still expanding things, and I don't understand why we're not having the more serious conversations about where we're going to end up, because before the session is over, we're going to have a balanced budget. And at this point, I don't think we've had real hard conversations about what that really means. And when you still have 1,500 bills that, have been dropped and it's onward and upward kind of thing, I think we really do need to kind of back up the bus a little bit and say, where are we? How are we going to, get a balanced budget and provide those core services that were required and expected to perform.
Keith, I know it's at the federal level, all these radical changes and agency closings that the Trump administration is either proposing or in the works with doing. But I wonder if that has trickled down at all to Olympia. Are there kind of some bracing for, what may happen as a result of some of these closures that are being talked about?
Well, I was just thinking this morning, we talk or you see in the news about how at the federal level, they're pointing out things that are just not necessary. As I said, we've got some statutory requirements, and typically government does what the private sector can't do. So you provide for an infrastructure, you provide for basic social services. But if I honestly believe if we took a good hard look at what we've been doing here in Olympia, there's a lot that we could be not doing because there are nonprofits, there are people out in the communities that are doing things, but a lot of people are relying just on state dollars. And we've created a lot of commissions and, social awareness type things that they really do cost money. And, we don't have a way to fund these things. If you have discretionary dollars, that's one thing. Then it becomes a matter of priorities and what you want to see happen. But as it is right now, as I said, I don't think we're really looking seriously at what we really need to do, make sure those are funded well, and then see where we're at.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Keith, let's move on. We have a lot to talk about as it pertains to schools and children here in the state. Let's start with those levies. So many of them, up for vote here in Tuesday's special election, and so many of them passing statewide, not just here in our region, but of course, Ephrata, Moses Lake, and Grant County, and then also here at home in the Wenatchee School District, Manson, as well as Cascade, passing different levies. So this is obviously good for them, but there are some things you were talking to me about that need to be done, you still feel, at the state level to kind of help bolster those efforts locally.
Well, I was really pleased to see that there were most of all of the levies that I'm aware of, they did pass. That's great. That means that there is support in the communities for their schools. But there are still, we're still talking to school officials and, some of the materials and supplies and operating costs, they're saying that they're not able to do what they really need to do. And I don't think they're making, outlandish requests, but we're putting a lot of burden on the schools to deliver certain things that they don't have the resources to. I've always been an advocate for fully funding special ed, And, you know, that hasn't happened yet. And so that does create an additional, you know, challenge for school districts. But I appreciate those that are, you know, doing what they are in the public schools and doing their best to provide a good education for the kids. But as I said, I think we have to be careful, too, what expectations we have of schools to deliver if we're not going to give them the resources and the ability to do that. So even like with transportation, I mean, there's just a lot of challenges with rising costs and some of the things that we have passed in legislation that has created additional responsibilities for those school districts.
Keith, I know you were talking to me before we jumped on air here about some of the more searched or popular bills over the course of the last week or so. One of them had to do with free meals for students here in the state. And apparently you were telling me that there's an overwhelming lot of folks that think that this is not a good idea, which kind of is surprising.
Well, I was surprised too. There were 3,900 plus people that signed in, you know, and 2/3 of them were against, you know, having all the free meals in school. And that is surprising because we've often, you know, felt like the push has been to make sure the kids are fed. But I think people are, as I said, I wasn't privy to all the testimony, but just from the people, the way they signed in, it was surprising to me.
I know we have that parental rights bill that was sent over from the Senate to House is now considering it, Keith. I'm not sure you were obviously a part of that vote, but I'm sure how intricately you're involved with that exactly. But tell us about that and its passage through the Senate.
Well, it did come to the floor. We debated it. We spoke our piece on how we felt. And in my comments, I felt, it's really important for the school to be in good immediate notification of those parents that are affected, that their children, you know, have things happen to them, particularly like of the criminal nature. The medical thing was ended up being the sticking point. We did get amendments that said parents should be notified immediately if their child had a criminal act against them or they've been, questioned by law enforcement. But when it came to the medical, you know, I think the way it ended up, it was still within a 48 hours or as the school saw fit. And to me, it undermines the credibility of the relationship between the parents and the school and the child. And, you know, it just is so important to have those clear communications in place. And I know that they'll say, well, some, you know, kids are living in a situation where the parents are, you know, they're not really, we don't, you know, think the parents are doing a good job, but then we're making judgment calls from the school district, and I think it's important to bring those parents in, make sure that we are identifying, you know, problem areas and be able to help in those areas, but to not inform parents of what's going on with their child. When they send their kid to school, they expect their kid's well-being will be cared for, and they hope to know about whatever is happening in their lives.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update, part of our Legislative Hotline series. The sessions happen for us on Thursdays and Fridays as the sessions in Olympia continue until the end of April. Keith, let's move on and talk about housing. I know you've got at least one bill that pertains to that. It's such a key focus of so many different pieces of legislation for this year's sessions. So tell us about what's going on as far as some of the housing measures are concerned right now.
Well, the bills that I have been sponsoring really have to do with rural areas and being able to have a little more flexibility in building. And what we've seen through the years is there's been a real reluctance to let development happen out in the rural areas. So we have some, you know, small towns that are called, you know, local areas of more intense rural development. There's been a resistance to let those have infill and to, you know, have any kind of expansion. And so we've actually been somewhat restricting those opportunities for building housing units. So the bills that we've had, they're not going to be what I consider real big game changers, but they are just incremental steps to create more opportunities so that people can have, housing opportunities closer to where they work. So if you're working out in a rural area, there's a need for, you know, housing close to your work. And some of these bills would create those opportunities. So we're hopeful that we can get those across the finish line and then let the, you know, counties plan for, you know, orderly growth and as I said, provide that housing unit for someone to be living in.
Keith, your bill, as so many, I guess, that pertain more to the rural area of the state, but especially this one, I think, because urban housing and growth in urban housing is such a different issue, really, in so many ways than it is with rural housing. Obviously, you know, we're talking about the same thing in essence, but, you know, some of the nuances that surround it, I guess, are so different. So, again, I know I've asked you this question before as it pertains to other legislation, but do you feel like your colleagues who represent the West Side have gained a good understanding of some of the needs of rural communities, including with this bill in particular?
Well, it's been an incremental process. And some of these bills have been in the rural areas now are somewhat of an outgrowth of just the willingness for those urban areas to be more flexible in their standards. So, you know, as you kind of broke down some of the resistance to the ideas that were promoted for the cities, as they start, you know, kind of chipping away at and creating more opportunity, well, it has kind of lapsed over into the rural acceptance too of allowing things to happen. But your point about the urban development, a lot of these bills, they are centered, like we've got one transit-oriented development. Well, you know, in the rural areas, even areas that have the towns and cities, we don't have a big transit system to be building out of, you know, and to be close to a station. And all. We're trying to, you know, utilize the ground that we have in a way that's very orderly and you know, is well thought out. But we need to have that flexibility in rural areas to create those opportunities for people. But, you know, we're not going to see high rises in Chelan County, so to speak, you know, as it relates to transit, because we don't have, you know, stations that, and that's kind of the focus of these bills is getting it close to where people can walk and use transit. They are trying to get people out of their cars, and that really isn't a reality for what we live with in, you know, Eastern Washington.
Keith, let's finish out by talking about budgets and also tax revenues. I know that you wanted to mention a little bit about that to us this morning because, as you mentioned to us, I think last time we were with you a couple of weeks ago, not any real huge figures or specific numbers that are being bandied about right now, but you're prepping for putting up the budgets here in just a little while for the biennium. So what's going on as far as the revenues are concerned right now?
Well, I think what we're hearing is that the big focus will probably be on taxes on what they consider the wealthy and businesses. So, you know, it's one of those things that those costs have to be passed on. And they're talking about a B&O tax, which is a business and occupation tax, which is a tax on the gross revenue of a business. So even if the business isn't making money, they're having to pay for the privilege of doing business in the state of Washington. So, you know, if you're trying to do that and hopefully, you know, see a prosperous future, I mean, what we're doing is kind of, you know, the death knell is there for a lot of businesses because so many businesses that talk with me, they're just barely hanging on. They're being very creative in how they're hanging on, you know, with their staffing. I mean, they're cutting back hours. They're you know, just having to do any and everything that they can just to stay afloat. So I think we have to be very careful what we're doing because we've had a lot of very prosperous businesses in the state of Washington, and we've seen some of those individuals, those wealthy individuals, they've chosen to relocate, leave the state. So some of the anticipated tax revenue, they're packing up their bags and leaving. And, you know, a lot of the businesses, whether it be, you know, Amazon, Microsoft, they're not as tied to Washington as like Boeing is, for example, because they're relatively, they could be mobile in a sense. And so I think we have to be very careful going forward. I don't think we need, you know, tax increases. Everything I hear, people feel like they're paying enough in tax. But as I mentioned at the outset of this conversation, I think we could be looking at how we're spending our money and actually be making some significant savings and have a sustainable budget.
12th District State Senator Keith Gaynor with us here on the KPQ Morning Update for our legislative hotline. Keith is with us every other week as part of this hotline comes your way on Thursdays with the senators here for different districts representing our region. And the representatives are with us on Friday. Keith, as always, I appreciate the time. Great to chat. Stay well, and we'll look forward to chatting with you here in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, Chris.